You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are joined by Henry Hutchison, who has 25 years of experience in business management and global family business consulting across a range of industries, and is a veteran of a family business himself. He is a frequent corporate and university speaker, as well as a columnist and writer for the News and Observer, Charlotte Observer, Nursery Retailer, The State, and Family Business Magazine. His new book is Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, the third edition, ensuring success from one generation to the next. Mr. Hutchison, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Happy to be here.
And happy to have you out with us as well. So tell us, what prompted you to write this book, Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business? Certainly an attention getter there.
Oh, well, gosh, that's a big question. I've been in the field for, you know, a long time, and there are other books out there that, you know, talk about family business dynamics, so on and so forth. But most of them are theoretical, academic, kind of high-level PhD stuff. This is a completely different book. This is a hands-on, practical, applicable book for somebody who's actually in a family business today and is looking for some practical advice on, hey, why am I having these issues? What issues am I going to run into? And how do I get out of these issues? And how do I run my family business to make sure that the business is running well and my family stays in harmony now and in the future? So it's a practical book.
And on the surface, it certainly sounds like it. Now, can you explain what you mean by dirty little secrets? What is all that about?
Well, frankly, a lot of it is just attention getting. But just as I kind of said, it's a practical book. It's not the theoretical book. So there's really not dirt, but there's a lot of practical secrets that people just don't realize that are right there in front of them, that they can go grab this information right out of the book and then go turn around in their family business and say, hey, for example, we need to start having family business meetings. Let's have one every quarter. Let's get in the room for an hour. Let's put it on the calendar and let's sit in the room and start off by saying, hey, we're a family in business and it's tricky. The success rate's not good. What are some of the things that we need to be talking about as a family in business together to make sure that we're running the business well and we're staying in harmony? And do that every quarter. Just get in the room and just talk about, just do that one thing, right? It's a real practical, one of the many practical things that you can do to improve your business. So it's not really dirty, but it is a little secret. So.
And of course, secrets sell, don't they? Now, you make an interesting point about how most family businesses are not really structured to last past a generation, let alone two. Can you elaborate on your perspective on this?
Sure. You know, every business started at some point, right? And, you know, it was an individual, a group of people, whatever it was, but there were the beginnings of it. Now, the beginnings of kind of most businesses are either somebody went along and saw an opportunity and took a chance, or frankly, a lot of people had trouble finding work and had an idea, and they went and tried something to go try to make some money, like my grandfather. So most startup businesses do not succeed. We all know that. But the ones that do succeed, you know, the person that was running it and started it, they were probably bright, they were probably motivated, and they probably had some luck along the way, and they made it. So if you ask them on the other side, what's the secret sauce? The answer is going to be, well, gosh, I really don't know, because I made it and other people didn't. So what happens is the next generation comes along and dad says, hey, just do what I do and you'll be okay. So the second generation, you talk to them and you say, why do you do the things that you do? And the answer you're going to get back is, well, we do what dad did. We just do it because he did it and it seems to keep working. Now, the problem is you get to the third generation and you ask them why they're doing what they're doing, they don't know granddad. They weren't working there with granddad. So they're kind of out in the air, and there's no real practical, implementable rules or structure or processes around why do we do what we do and, you know, how do we do it well and so on and so forth. So they're kind of coasting on momentum, and they really don't have a definition of what their space is in the marketplace, how do they compete, so on and so forth. they're just kind of going on the energy that granddad had when he started the business. So they need to kind of professionalize in order to continue going on in the future. And that's some of the work that we do.
And we certainly appreciate what you do for family businesses nationwide. Today we are with Mr. Henry Hutchison, who has 25 years of experience in business management and global family business consulting across a range of industries, and is the author of the new book, Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, the third edition, Ensuring Success from One Generation to the Next. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Hutchison, once you get to the third generation, they have no idea what the beginning was like, and they haven't been able to witness how the founder went about doing what they did. And of course, the third generation is looking for rules and structures and systems and governance. And most of all, why do we do it this way? Touch on some of those details. Get into some of that.
Yeah, when you get to the third, and I mean, you don't have to wait to the third because it's coming anyway, but a lot of what's important is what we call governance, you know, putting the rules, the procedures, the processes, and getting them written down. And in a family business, it's particularly important. Who gets to work here and why? How much are people going to get paid in the family and why? And what's the process for that? You know, how do you get hired? How do you get fired? Who gets how much ownership? What's the dividend policy? What if somebody wants to get bought out? What if somebody wants to buy in? All of that, all of the answers, all those questions when you start off a family business, there are no answers. It's just whatever mom or dad figures out as they go along. But when you get to the third generation with the implementation of governance, you have to start putting some rules of the road down on what do we all agree to on how we're going to run this business, right? You need to have an updated shareholder agreement. You need to have a good buy-sell agreement that's funded, so on and so forth. Vacation policies, compensation policies, so on and so forth. That's the big part. But I will tell you that one of the big parts that most family businesses have trouble with is having a board and having a board that has independent people on the board. Most family businesses either don't have a board or have a board that's made up of nothing but family members. That's not really a board, and that's not going to help you accomplish what a board is supposed to accomplish, which is oversight. So what you want to do is put one, two, three people on your board who have who don't work for you. They're not employees. They're not your accountants. They're not your lawyer. They're not your friends. It's somebody that can sit in the room and has some idea about what's going on in this business. They sit down once a quarter for 3-4 hours in a meeting. You share the information, and they give you advice, and they give you their opinions on what's best for the business and the family. You can take or leave their advice, but at least you're getting some outside input on what you're doing as opposed to being insular and just talking amongst yourselves as a family. So putting together a board with independent people on the board is a huge indicator for success of family businesses.
Can you talk about how to deal with the sense of entitlement the founder's children may feel here?
You know, I think the most important thing on dealing with entitlement is to try to prevent it in the first place. And I'll get to the second part, but the highest correlation to success in transitioning a family business is when the next generation, after their education is over at whatever stage, is they go somewhere else to work. And the reason for that is not really so that they can go work in the industry somewhere else and learn something. It's really more of developing a sense of independence. Here is my place in the world. Here's my worth in the world. Here's my value in the world. Here's what I'm good at. Here's what I'm not good at. Outside of your family, outside of your family's business, independent and on your own. So entitlement in a family business is a problem because it's basically a fertile ground for creating it. You know, my family's business was Olin Mills, and we were a nationwide photography studio company. And it would be very easy for me to say, hey, my grandfather's Olin Mills, and I'm an important person. And my grandfather had a ton of employees, and their livelihood depended upon him. And so it can go to my head and say, hey, I'm an important person because my grandfather's Olin Mills. But in reality, my value in the world is only the value that Henry Hutchison brings to the table with whatever the situation may be. Nobody really cares who your father is or how much money you have or who you're connected with, right? And so family businesses create a sense of entitlement. Probably, and this is going to be really basic, but when you bring your family members into the business, they need to be qualified for the position, and they need to start at the bottom, and then they need to earn their stripes as they go along to become a leader in the business along the way. You will gain the support of all your employees, and the next generation leader or family member will have done all of the basic things that need to be done, and so they'll understand how the business works. So that's a great way to approach it, in my opinion.
And you've got my support 110% on that approach. Really good information here. Now, continuing on, the kids are thinking that they are important because they are related to their father. Their father treats them like a king and has lots of money. This creates a sense of entitlement. What is the single toughest challenge for a family business? And what if there's no one to take over leadership for the family business? What then?
Well, let me answer that differently. You know, the hope and the goal and the dream is, you know, one or more of my children will be interested and capable of being in this business, right? If they're not interested in being in it, or they're not capable, well, particularly if they're interested, the kids need to do whatever it is that they want to do in their life that makes them happy, right? That's the Henry Hutchison theory that says, I'm not going to jam my kids into my business because I want my business to continue. If my kids want to go do something else and it makes sense and they have a proclivity for it, and they can make a living and they're happy doing it, that's what they should do. But if they are interested, it will be great to groom them and have them take this business over at some time. However, they may not be capable of running this business ultimately. And there's a lot of consequences to that because, hey, when I transition that business over to my son or my daughter or whomever, I'm probably going to need some money out of this business as I start retiring in order to have a financially secure retirement, so on and so forth. Not to mention the legacy. If I built this thing up, I'd like it to continue. So it's really hard thing is to have the conversation and help your child come to the realization, and maybe, hey, you come to the realization that maybe your kid's not cut out to really run this business. So maybe you can go get somebody else that's not a family member that runs the business, and your child can be an owner. Your children can be owners, but maybe they don't run the business. Interesting little tidbit, and I'm not recommending this, but the Mars Corporation, large family business, by family constitution, they do not allow their family members to work in the business. They say, you can do anything else in the world. You've all got plenty of money. We're just going to go get the best, you know, Harvard or Stanford MBA graduates and let them run this business. You guys can be on the board. So that's one of the issues. And, you know, if your kids are not interested, not capable, and you really can't find anybody else to run your company and they're not good owners, frankly, you're talking about selling the business. And it's a heartbreaker, but, you know, we say you preserve the wealth and maintain the harmony. If your business is worth something, you certainly don't want it to whittle down to nothing and then sell it. You might as well sell it while it's worth something and get the money and then go do something else with that, you know?
And most certainly on that, and some really good information there in response. Lastly, what is the smartest way to a family business to plan for succession? And you have a very informative section on millennials, I understand. Why did you decide to include that as well? I'm sure you have a reason.
You know, the millennials, just kind of hanging on that part of the question. You know, since the beginning of time, there have been parents and there have been children. And there's always a generation gap, you know, because children start from a base of understanding what their parents already know. And then they build on it and they want to make their own mark and things evolve and things improve. And so, you know, there were, you know, when my parents grew up, their parents didn't like the fact that they were listening to rock and roll music, which was Elvis Presley and so on and so forth. And then it evolves. And, you know, a lot of it's wrapped up in music where we can really identify it. And that's always been there, right? We all know that. However, I contend that the generation gap that we are experiencing right now is the biggest generation gap in the history of mankind. And the reason I say that is this. There are baby boomers whose children are millennials. So I'm a baby boomer. And because of that, I know about World War II. And I know about, I didn't live through, but I know about the Great Depression. My mother kept cash under her bed because she was always afraid that the world would collapse and she wouldn't have any money because she grew up in that environment, right? So all us baby boomers know about World War II. We know about the Great Depression. We have a philosophy in life that, you know, we get a job and we work at it. We're loyal and we show up on time and we're dedicated and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that millennials aren't loyal and dedicated. What I am saying is that they grew up in a world where there was the internet and there were smartphones. And baby boomers did not. And so they live in a completely different world and a completely different mentality than what baby boomers grew up in. By the way, there haven't really been any wars. Nobody's kids have gone to war for real. I mean, I know there's Afghanistan and Iraq, but there hasn't been a global war like World War I, World War II, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this huge gap in philosophy of life that goes on. And so we could go on. We could go on all day about this. But what I will say is this. Baby boomers, owners of business, struggle with millennials. But what I will tell you is, while there are immutable truths to business, I would contend that they are simply preparing themselves for the future world that's going to happen here in the next 5, 10, 20 years, that we baby boomers really can't understand that well, but they're going to be able to swim in that world pretty darn well. And unfortunately, we're going to be old dogs that can't learn new tricks in the next 10, 20 years. And they will be capable of dealing in that world. And so it cuts both ways. There is value with what they're doing, and we need to kind of come to grips with that.
Well, Mr. Hutchinson, we can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today. Some fabulous information shared, and again, we certainly appreciate it. Where can listeners pick up the book, Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, and or be in contact and get further details online? Where's the best place?
Sure, it's really easy. We're Family Business USA. I mean, we are global, but we started out as Family Business USA, and we're real proud of that. So go to familybusinessusa.com, and you can find me, and you can find a lot of information about us and some of our writings and white papers and so on and so forth. And then you can find our book on there as well, Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, and hopefully you'll learn something. And we'd love to help you if you need some help.
Again, Mr. Hutchinson, thanks so much for what you do in the space and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you all the best.
Thanks, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Henry Hutchinson, who has 25 years of experience in business management and global family business consulting across a range of industries, and is also the author of the new book, Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, the third edition, ensuring success from one generation to the next. And for further details, visit familybusinessusa.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.